around Makkah Mukarrama. On the agenda at this particular meeting were the following two ayat of the Quran Majid. It's amazing, isn't it? Eventually the Quraysh realized every prediction and everything that was contained in the Quran, every revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was absolutely true. They were Arabs. They loved the Arabic language, brothers. Those were the days when the language was used to a very high degree, particularly in poetry. The result was that for this particular meeting, where several days before this meeting, these two ayat that I'm going to quote to you here of the Quran Majid were flying around, were going around, people were quoting and saying that Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has received this revelation. We must do something about it. The first ayah I'm going to quote to you was the one granting permission to the Muslims to migrate from Makkah Mukarrama and calling their enemies the oppressors, the zalimin. And the second ayah granted permission to the Muslims to take up arms to defend themselves against their enemies and guaranteeing Muslim victory. Allahu Akbar. And guaranteeing Muslim victory. Now the kuffar and mushrikeen had learned through bitter experience to trust the Quran for its accuracy, and this bothered them no end. The Quraysh had learned through experience that every time Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received a revelation, it was absolutely true without a doubt. Whatever the Quran predicted and prophesied came out to be true. So having this experience, they were highly concerned at the contents, at the meaning of these two ayat. The first ayah was as follows, and I will recite it to you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbana akhrijna min hazihi al-qaryati al-zalimi ahluha waj'al lana min ladunka waliyan waj'al lana min ladunka nasira alladhina amanu yuqatiluna fi sabilillah والذين كفروا يقاتلون في سبيل الطاغوت فقاتلوا أولياء الشيطان إن كيد الشيطان كان ضعيفا صدق الله العظيم. Surah of the Quran, ayat number 75 and ayah number 76. Surah Nisa, fourth surah of the Quran, ayah number 75 and 76, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, before I give you the translation, the Muslims had been praying in Makkah to be released from their persecution. The Quran says their dua was, and now I start to translate. The Quran says the dua of the Muslims under persecution in Makkah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was as follows. Rabbana. Every Muslim in Makkah was making this dua. Rabbana. Akhrijna. من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها واجعل لنا من لدنك وليا واجعل لنا من لدنك نصيرا. Our sustainer, take us out of this city of Makkah. Our sustainer, our Rabb, take us out of this city whose inhabitants are oppressors. And O Allah, grant us from thyself a protector and grant us from thyself a defender. In other words, O Allah, protect us, and O Allah, defend us. Then the Quran carries, Alladhina amanu. They who believe, says the Quran, they who believe fight for the cause of Allah, and those who disbelieve fight in the cause of their taghut, of their idols. Then the Quran says, Faqatilu awliya shaitan. إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. Fight therefore against the friends of shaitan, for the strategy and the plans of shaitan are weak. Subhanallah. O Muslimin, if we can only understand this. Truly, this is absolutely true. Shaitan has got no power at all over a true believer. And yet today, shaitan has so much power. Due to our own ignorance and weakness, this is why shaitan takes over. It is our weakness. Shaitan itself has made a threat, but you know what it is. A threat is nothing at all whatsoever for a Muslim. People give threats, but a threat, until it is put into effect, until it is made effective, is of no value. It remains just a threat, a warning, that's all. So Shaitan has merely given a warning, and he said, I will lead true believers astray. I will come to them from the back, I will come to them from the front, I will come to them from all sides, and I will try to deceive them. I will lie in wait for them, to trap them, and so on and so forth. But Shaitan cannot succeed with true believers who have a strong iman. So here it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, fight therefore against the friends of Shaitan. And who are the friends of Shaitan? The disbelievers, the mushrikeen, munafiqeen, and kafirin of Makkah Mukarramah. And Allah ta'ala says, for the strategy of Shaitan is weak. This was the first ayat that the Quraysh mushrikeen, munafiqeen, the hypocrites and the disbelievers in Quraysh, this is the ayah they were discussing. They say, upon the Muslims have been making this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described us as the friends of Shaitan, and he has said Shaitan is weak, and these people are going to go to war with us. They have been allowed, they can go out of Makkah. Allah has accepted their dua. Commentary: this dua and prayer of the oppressed and persecuted Muslims was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and large numbers migrated thereafter to Madinah Munawwara, where they settled down in peace. Permission to fight for the defense of Islam is also clearly given in this ayah. Note that the enemies of the Muslims are referred to as the friends of idols of the Tawhut, friends of the idols of their idols, and the friends of the devils. The second ayah of the Quran, which caused much pain and anxiety to the Quraysh leaders and chiefs assembled in the Darun Nadwa in Makkah Mukarramah, was, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. صدق الله العظيم. Surah Hajj, 22nd Surah of the Quran, ayat number 39, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, permission is granted, in brackets, to the Muslims, permission is granted, in brackets, to the believers, to fight against those who have persecuted them unjustly. And verily, Allah has the power to help them to victory. Allah has the power to help them to succeed. Allah has the power to help the true believers to victory. Subhanallah. Commentary: this was the first ayah of the Quran granting permission to the Muslims to defend themselves against the enemies with the force of arms in 13 years of persecution. At the end of the 13th year, this is the ayah that was revealed to the Muslimin. For 13 years they made sabr, brothers. Sabr of a kind and a type that only the Sahabas have made in the history of mankind. Not even a retaliatory slap were they allowed to give. Not even a retaliatory gesture or look were the Muslimin allowed to give. They had to take every persecution, every form of punishment meted out to them with sabr, with patience, with tolerance. Not even a sign of intolerance were they allowed to give to their enemies, no matter what the extent of the persecution. And now comes this ayah, and the Quraysh, the Kuffar, and the Mushrikeen of Makkah are terribly worried, because this ayah is being spoken. The whole night they were discussing this ayah in their private meetings and gatherings. Uzina lilladhina yuqatiluna bi'annahum zulimu. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. What are we going to do? Muslims can now take up arms. And they had seen the growing force of the Muslims, the quwwa, the strength. Brothers, do remember, the Muslims were few in number, but those of the Quraysh that had accepted Islam were amongst the most powerful of the Quraysh. Very strong people they were. Person like Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, these were people who could stand alone against a mighty force. Really. They had proven it time and again. People would simply, when they saw Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, even prior to his acceptance of Islam, they knew he is Umar the Terrible. They would just give way. They would. Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a powerful man, people used to just disperse when he came along. And if they saw a frown of anger on his face, they would disperse. Immediately they would give way. Such were those who had accepted the deen of Islam, highly feared by the munafiqeen and mushrikeen and kafirin of Makkah Mukarramah. When this ayat was revealed, there was worry in the camp of the unbelievers. permission is granted to fight against those who have persecuted the believers unjustly, and verily Allah has the power to help them to victory. Commentary coming up is as follows. This was the first ayah of the Quran granting permission to the Muslims, and verily Allah has the power to help them to victory. Commentary coming up is as follows. This was the first ayah of the Quran granting permission to the Muslims to defend themselves against their enemies with the force of arms. Up to this time, the Muslims had been exhorted by the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to exercise patience, fortitude and diligence against the unbelievers. Now the Muslims were ordered to go to war if necessary to defend their religion, to defend their prophet and to protect their honor. And Allah Ta'ala would certainly help them to victory. There was a buzz of excitement around the conference table when it was suggested that the only way this matter could be speedily resolved was by taking direct action. Somebody in the chamber suggested the only way we can come to any agreement on this matter is we must take direct action. Mass action, you can call or whatever you want to call it. We must take direct action. Lobbying for support, they decided that lobbying for support of their gods, for their gods and their customs and their traditions, was having no effect on the Quraysh peoples. There was a disturbance. As they were discussing this, we must take direct action, we must do something about this. It is useless going to tell the people to support our gods. They're not interested. We have spoken so often. Look at a person like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu. We have told them that they must remain within the fold of kufr, because this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is calling our gods, all our idols. I mean, he is decrying them. He is saying we must not believe in our gods. I mean, for centuries we have believed in Lat and Uzza and all the various gods that we have, and now here comes along a man, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who says that these are not our gods, that these are not gods at all. So we have to fight against him. And yet they say at that meeting, people are leaving us and going and embracing Islam. So we have to do something. While this was going on, this is the interesting part, brothers. While this was going on, there was a disturbance at the entrance, at the door of the Darul Nadwa, of this room, this chamber in which they were having this meeting. There was a disturbance at the door, and all of them looked towards the door. At the door stood a handsome old man clad in a mantle, right? He was covered. A handsome old man clad in a mantle. "Who are you and what do you want?" they asked. "I am a sheikh. I am a sheikh from the highlands of Najd, and I possess much property and a great following. I have heard of this important meeting and I have come to advise you and to counsel you on the best course of action to take on this matter that is under discussion," said Shaitan, disguised as an old sheikh. Now the Arabic word sheikh means an old man. So this is what Shaitan says from the door. Obviously they do not recognize it and they do not know he is Shaitan. I am telling you because this is what comes in the hadith. Brothers, these are meticulously researched. I have researched this very, very carefully. And this is what is written there. I have also noticed, looking at some of the more modern commentaries on the Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they avoid this part because of the same reason I gave earlier. They feel that the modern Muslim mind is not going to accept this, so they've just cast it out. If you read the life of the Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the modern literature that is appearing now, you will find that these have been eliminated. This part of the story has been eliminated, but our ancient books and our authentic books have this in them. All right, let's proceed. They asked this handsome looking old sheikh, a man that stood at the door, they asked him, "Who are you and what do you want?" And he said, "I am a sheikh, I come from the highlands of Nadi." In other words, I am a chief and I have a lot of property, a lot of possession, a lot of lands, and I have a lot of following. I have a very big following as well. "I have heard of this important meeting that you people are having here and I've come to advise you and counsel you on the best course of action to take on this matter," said Shaitan, disguised as a sheikh. The chiefs needed all the help they could get. The old man appeared sincere in his quest to help them. He appeared to be a very prominent man, and they advised him to join their discussion. Shaitan placed one objective in front of them. Shaitan comes in and he practically takes control of the meeting. Everybody looked to him because they themselves undecided. Here comes a neutral man. He seems to be a very respectable man, a very important man, and it is very easy when a person like this comes in to hand over the reins to him. And this is what happens. Shaitan takes hold of the rein and he places one object in front of him. He addresses them and he tells them, you know, we have one very important matter that we must decide on. And that is that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be killed. Straight away he comes in and he says, look, let's not bandy with words and twist words around and have a lot of... The decision here is we must decide on one thing, and that is, how are we going to kill Muhammadur Rasulullah? How are we going to slay Na'uzu Billah? This would end all our problems, he tells them. And now now you must come up with suggestions. Now we must scheme, we must plot, plan, how are we going to kill him? He says, don't talk about other things. Don't theorize. Don't come up with fancy talk. One decision, you and I all must decide on one matter. And that is the only way this trouble is going to end, is by killing Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he says, now I invite suggestions. Come up with suggestions. How can this be done? The Shaitan Sheikh waited to hear the plans of his followers, who had been mentioned in the Quran Majid as Awliya Shaitan, the friends of Shaitan. These people assembled there, the cronies of Abu Jahl, all of them. In the Quran, they have been called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Awliya al-Shaytan, meaning that they were the friends of Shaitan. The devil's friends agreed that only the sudden death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would solve their problems. All were in agreement. Too many people were impressed with the new religion and with the character and personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each speaker stands up and each one now gives his view. Nobody is coming up with any suggestions as to how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each one stands up and says, yes, it is true, we have to kill him because, you know, so many people, my uncle has gone in, my son has gone, and my daughter has gone, and so on. Each one comes up with the story of how many of the Quraysh have been attracted by Islam and by the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, too many people were impressed with the new religion and with the character and personality of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Too many important and powerful people had accepted Islam. This progress must be instantly terminated, or the prophecy of the Quran would be fulfilled, and then there would be war between Muslims and the infidels. The Aus and Khazraj tribes of Medina, who had joined the Muslims and were known to support them, were a severe threat to the domination of the Quraysh. One of the matters that was discussed there also is, you know, there are two tribes in Medina. These two tribes have been warring and fighting with one another for many years. Like the Quraysh were powerful in Makkah, Aus and Khazraj were the most powerful tribes in Medina. These two, the leaders, the main people, the chief people of these two tribes, most of them had accepted Islam. And this meant that they were a threat to the domination of this region of the Quraysh. They were a direct threat to the Quraysh. Because, I mean, if there was a war, Aus and Khazraj would side with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if in that war, the Aus and Khazraj were victorious over the Quraysh, you know what would happen. Then the Aus and Khazraj would take over Makkah Mukarrama, and what would happen to the authority of the Quraysh? So this was a very important problem. Then one of the members suggested that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be arrested, he should be put into chains and irons, and he should be imprisoned, as they had done with most of the other Muslim prisoners, and then he should be tortured. Allahu Akbar. You see what they said? Go, send men out, send out our soldiers, let them go and arrest Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They must bring him, we will chain him, put around his ankles irons, and then of course he would be put into prison, he would be starved, and after that we can torture him and make him denounce or renounce Islam. Na'uzu billah. These were the suggestions that were coming up. This would deter the Muslims and put them to fright. Several others felt that this was a good plan, since it would give them time to evaluate the support of the Muslims. Knowing their strength, the Quraysh could fight them better. These are the things that generally happen in a meeting. One person suggests this, another person says, yes, that is a good plan. And you know, when we do this and we pray, we can see how many people cry out in support of him, how many people are in sympathy with Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we recognize, and then we will know how many hundreds are with him and how many thousands are with us, or how many hundreds with him and how many hundreds with us. So when we can gauge support, then we know how to plan to do whatever we want to in order to stem the tide of Islam. All right. Knowing their strength, the Quraysh could fight them better. Finding the matter sliding out of his control, Shaitan objected, saying, and obviously here, Shaitan is sitting there like an old man. I'm using the word Shaitan, but in the Kitab it is written, this old Sheikh, he objected, saying, and these are his words, he said, the Muslim spies are everywhere. They will soon find out where he is being held, and they will secure his release. Sympathies will then be aroused and your authority shall diminish. Think of a better plan. So here sits the chair. He's been appointed suddenly as the chairman. He takes over and he says that plan is not good enough. Because all the Muslims are going to do is they're going to plan and they will come and, you know, they will attack and they will release Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they will take him and go away. It's not good enough. Look, Shaitan said at the beginning, he wants one decision, and that is, how are you going to kill Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This plan is not good enough. Slow torture is not going to work as far as he was concerned, because the matter would slide out of his control, Muslims would gather their forces, release Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would still be alive. Shaitan does not want Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be alive. Another suggestion soon came up. The Quraysh were fearful of slaying the Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam openly. For the Banu Hashim tribe of the Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam were very strong, highly respected, and they were very powerful. They would unite and they would kill those who were responsible for the murder of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nauzubillah. So another suggestion. The second suggestion, therefore, was another suggestion and comes up from one of the other delegates. He suggests that the Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be banished from Makkah altogether. With him out of Makkah, they could resume their idolatry and retain their customs and traditions relating thereto, and peace could be restored in Makkah. The Shaykh again interjected. He said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has an outstanding character. He has a powerful personality, and he is also known far and wide for his honesty and his integrity. If he is banished, he will draw many people towards him, and he will soon raise an army big enough to attack Makkah. What will happen to your authority, O Quraysh? What will happen to your authority then? The plan, think of a better plan, he tells them again. Come up with a better suggestion. The plans were coming in very slowly, so the Sheikh took hold of the situation. In other words, Shaitan took hold of the situation. Addressing the meeting, he spoke as follows. He said, O leaders of the Quraysh, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has disgraced your gods and your traditions. He seeks to impose his own religion over yours and to force his ways upon the people. Yet you are the true rulers of Makkah, and you have the majority support with you. You must seize the initiative and you must establish your authority and domination over the people. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is almost alone, with only a few supporters, for most of his followers have already migrated to Medina. You must take his life now if you wish to retain your power and authority. Islam must be ended now, or Islam is bound to spread and to gain power through increased following. That is how he ended his speech. The delegates were now desperate for some plan acceptable to the Sheikh. They knew what had to be done, but not how to do it. Shaitan had brought them now to a point. None wished to be the slayer of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This they feared. Shaitan then went into the mind of Abu Jahl, and he suggested an evil plan to Abu Jahl, which Abu Jahl then, through his mouth, put forward to the mushrikeen leaders assembled in the Darun Nadwa. And Abu Jahl Shaitan, speaking through the tongue of Abu Jahl, addressed the meeting as follows. He said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be killed tonight, or he may escape from our clutches. On his killing, we are all agreed. As to its implementation, I suggest that each tribe present one strong person for the slaying, that each one of them be armed with a sharp sword, and that each of them should strike a blow with their weapon to kill him. In this way, no single tribe can be marked out for this killing, and all the tribes can then contribute towards the blood money for his slaying to his family. So saying, Shaitan sat down, or Abu Jahl sat down. There were murmurs of consent. Shaitan can achieve this. Those people that follow Shaitan and practically worship Shaitan, Shaitan enters them and Shaitan speaks through their tongue. This is how Abu Jahl. So the plan was devised by Shaitan. It was suggested by Abu Jahl. This is what waswas is all about. There were murmurs of consent. Everyone turned to the Sheikh who had come up with this unique suggestion. Everyone turned to Abu Jahl. He shook his head, the Sheikh now. Everybody turns to Abu Jahl and there's murmurs of consent. They feel, well, you've come up with a unique plan, very nice. Thereafter, after looking at Abu Jahl, they all now turn to the Sheikh, because three suggestions had come, and each time the Sheikh had disapproved them. He had shown his disapproval. Now they all looked at the Sheikh, what are you going to say? Or they all look at the chairman, what are you going to say? And so it comes about that they found the Sheikh, or Shaitan, shook his head in approval. And he said, Abu Jahl is right. This is your solution. But this matter must be dealt with tonight. See, Shaitan held the fear, brothers, that from these two wahis, ayat that I recited, that at any moment the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to leave Makkah Mukarramah for Madinah Munawwarah. He was going to make the hijrah. Shaitan didn't know when, but Shaitan knew that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to hijrah. So once he is out of Makkah Mukarramah, it is going to be very difficult to get the Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is why he is insisting at this meeting that, and this is why he came to this meeting, that if you are going to kill Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a'udhu billah, then it must be done tonight. There was a resounding agreement by all the delegates. Everybody shook hands and they smiled at one another for the brilliance and the cunning of this plan. They were suddenly relieved. And thereafter they sat down to work out the details and selected 20 brave soldiers of the Quraysh tribes for this task. And plans were laid to surround the Prophet's house that night and to slay him at an opportune moment in the darkness. Still this day of planning had that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam must not see them, he must not see their faces, he must not recognize them, and they would kill him. All together, 20 of them, 10 on one side of his bed, 10 on the other side, all would strike together, each one on each part of his body, and so they would cut him into 20 pieces. Na'uzu billah. This is part of their plan. Their plans finally laid, their minds resolved, the Quraysh were satisfied that their plans were faultless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also plans to save his beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the plans of Allah ta'ala are invincible. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid about this episode. Darun Nadwa, plans are laid, 20 people are selected, names are given, everything is prepared, plans are laid, and they all are very, very happy. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the malaikas that are under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about Allah's plan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command is as follows. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid about this episode, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُسْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ صدق الله العظيم. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Anfal, 8th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 30. And remember when the disbelievers plotted against you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in brackets I have put in, O Prophet. And remember when the disbelievers plotted against you, that they would imprison you, that they would kill you, or they would banish you. And they planned, and Allah says, and they planned, and Allah also planned, and Allah is the best of planners. This, what I have told you now, is with regard to this shaitan coming in and making this plan, and Abu Jahl mouthing the plan of shaitan in this way. And remember, when the disbelievers plotted against you, that they would imprison you, that was one of the suggestions, or that they would kill you, or that they would banish you. And they planned, Allah says, and Allah also planned, and Allah is the best of plan. In another part of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this event in the following words. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Am taquluna sha'irun natarabbasu bihi raybal manoon. Qul tarabbasu فَإِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُتَرَبِّسِينَ صدق الله العظيم. In Surah Tur, 52nd Surah of the Quran, ayat number 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do the unbelievers say that he, meaning the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a poet? Do they, the kuffar, say that the Nabi is a poet? And that we wait for some calamity which will come upon him? Meaning he's killing. They all now waiting for night to fall, and then as soon as night falls, the 20 people will surround, and then they would slay the Nabi. They were absolutely certain that their plan was going to succeed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do they, the unbelievers? Because one of the things that took place in that meeting was, they said, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Islam is a creation of his magic. By his magic, by his sorcery, he has created and invented this deen of Islam. You know, there are Orientalists that also try to tell us this. But even before all of them, Shaitan already had said this. Shaitan had told them in that meeting that he is a poet and he uses magic and sorcery in order to pull and draw people to Islam. So Allah Ta'ala says, do they, these unbelievers, this kuffar of Makkah, do they say that the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a poet? And are they waiting for some calamity to befall him? Then say, O Prophet, say, my Prophet, say, O my Prophet, wait you, you people, you Quraysh, are you waiting? Verily, in brackets it be, are you waiting? The Quran is very, very brief, right? What it means here is, wait you, the word is, qul tarabbasu, are you waiting, O Quraysh, you people are waiting for my death, for my killing, for my ruin? Qul tarabbasu. And says Allah Ta'ala, فَإِنِّي مَعَكُم مِّنَ الْمُتَرَبِّسِينَ. Says Allah, verily I too wait with you as to the outcome of your plans. I also wait. You waiting, I'm also waiting. See what happens. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brought to the end of just now, brothers. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brought to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam the message of the decision of the Quraysh chiefs and the plans of the Quraysh to slay him that very night. He told the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to place Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala on his bed that night and to migrate from Makkah to Medina with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala that very night. Now this is brought Nabi Jibreel. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, look, this is what happened at the meeting. This is what the Quraysh, tonight they are going to kill you. A'udhu billah. They are going to kill you tonight. So now what you do, Allah Ta'ala instructs, Allah Ta'ala commands, Allah Ta'ala orders you that tonight you must not sleep on your bed. You must place Ali radiallahu anhu, you must put Ali there, you yourself must wait elsewhere, and then when I give you instructions, then you must march out, leave your house, and you must walk out, go to the house of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and there you take him, and the both of you must then migrate and make hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. This is your instructions. As it says in the Quran, and they planned and Allah planned. Now what we are doing, we're translating Allah's plan into human terms so that you can understand. course, everything happens by the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no need, for example, why we give this breakdown. For example, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the Mi'raj, we know exactly what happened. Each event, he was lying there in near the Haram, and Jibreel alayhi salam came, Malaikas came down, they woke him, they awoke him, Jibreel alayhi salam washed his heart, all these details, and eventually how he was led and put on the Buraq, and thereafter, all these details, because we are human beings. If we are told that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into Mi'raj, and we are not given the details of how the whole, each event occurred, then we are not going to understand how the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. In the past I've told you, this is what is called istidraj in the Arabic language. In Islamic terms, istidraj means every event unfolds according to a procedure, according to a process. Child is born, mother's womb, 9 months, then he is born, mother gives birth, then he is born, and it takes 20 years, 30 years, 40 years before he ages and so on. So everything goes day by day, or rather second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, right? Month by month, year by year, and then eventually death comes. Everything follows a pattern. But they say, people, and in the hadith this comes also, that when your eyes close, you feel that you have only lived in this world for an instant. Only for a minute. Your whole life goes in front of you in a split second. So this is what life is all about, in fact. So this is why I'm giving you the breakdown of how this took place and the intervention of Shaitan. Brothers, he told the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what to do. Who? Jibreel alayhi salam. This was the permission that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been waiting for, and it was the signal to migrate for which he had been waiting. This had now arrived. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded to make his preparations. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was informed by the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about it. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala was placed in charge of the goods which had been placed in trust by the Quraysh in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was to return these deposits to the rightful owners before making his way to Madinah Munawwara. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to leave immediately. All these trusts, this amana, was handed to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu by the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and each one had his name, each packet, each belonging had its name on it, and each one, Sayyidina Ali, was made in charge. On the morrow, you must return it to the rightful owners. Many of these people who had entrusted goods in kind and in cash with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not yet accepted Islam because of the opposition of their chiefs. But they dearly loved and they dearly respected the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were soon going to embrace Islam. The matter of the slaying of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was kept secret by the Quraysh chiefs. There was great sympathy among many for Islam and Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That night, the 20 Quraysh hand-picked men, surrounded the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they waited peacefully and patiently for the right moment to strike. They wanted the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be fast asleep before attacking him. They peeped now and then, and they found him fast asleep on his bed. They had no idea that it was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala that was sleeping in the place of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rested elsewhere in the house. The Quraysh stood ready to pounce. They had their instructions. They would all strike the body of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together simultaneously, so ridding themselves of their greatest enemy. Na'uzu billah, jazakumullah, wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله all thanks and all praises are due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى our maker Allah our creator Allah our sustainer Allah and we send the darood and salams of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the beloved messenger of Allah ta'ala, the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the perfect messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our lesson is on Shaitan's plan for man. And at this moment of time we are busy with the various plans of shaitan to foil the works of the various anbiyas, the various prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have concluded at length a major section of this lesson, which dealt with various anbiyas, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wa salam, Nabi Hud alayhi salatu wa salam, Nabi Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wa salam. We dealt with Nabi Idris alayhi salatu wa salam, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Nabi Ibrahim and Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam. We dealt with all the anbiyas, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. And we are busy now with two stories out of many of the plans that Shaitan made with regard to Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with which story I commenced last week. I brought the story to the point. By the way, the story is with regard to the hijrah of the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina Munawwara, and the plan of Shaitan to try to have the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam killed. I proceed from exactly where I left off last week without summarizing or repeating any portion of that story. The plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this night, the night of the Mi'raj, the night of the Hijrah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was altogether different. And Allah's plan was very simple. Last week I gave you the account of the plans of the mushrikeen in the Darun Nadwa, the parliament house of the Quraysh, Kufar and Mushrikeen and Munafiqeen, was known as the Darun Nadwa. In this they planned to have the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam killed in his own house, in his bed, at the sword, at the mercy of 20 chosen assassins from amongst the Mushrikeen. These people surrounded his house. At the same time, I recited to you the ayah wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the kuffar and mushrikeen made their plans, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his plans, and that the best of planners is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what I am adding here as I commence with today's lesson is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan was not a very intricate and a very difficult one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan was a very, very simple one, straightforward one. The beloved Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would escape from under the very noses of his enemies, who were armed, who were watching his house very carefully, and were completely ready to slay him at a moment's notice. Allah's plan was that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk out of his house unarmed, and he would pass by right in front of his enemies, and yet none of them would be able to see him, none of them would even notice him, and that none of them would be able to do anything about it. Look at the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his plan. The kuffar made their plan. You know, simply their plan was they would surround the house of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at every point, so that it would be impossible for the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to walk out of his house unnoticed to escape, either from the front or the back or sideways, or from the roof. He would not be able to do so. He would not be able to escape from by digging a tunnel across from underneath his house. He wouldn't be able to do that, because every now and then one of the 20 would go and look through the window to see whether the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still lying asleep on his bed. So every now and then, every half an hour, a person would go in and peer in through the window and see, no, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is fast asleep. So he would return and give the signal that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not escaped their attention. That was their plan. And then eventually, when the moment was opportune, they would all 20 go into the house And then each one would take his sword, and together all of them simultaneously would strike. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with their sharpened swords, with their sharpened blades, and so they would cut him into 20 pieces. Nauzubillah, this was their plan. Their inescapable plan. Their perfect plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan was unique, but very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would permit, would allow, would make it possible for his beloved Prophet, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to walk out of his house and walk right past them, and yet none of them would notice him. None of them would see him. None of them would be able to do anything about him walking away from them. He would walk out unarmed and he would pass right in front of them, and none would see or notice or be able to do anything about it. A miracle would take place and no harm would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not even a hair of his head would be touched. Such were the plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the human creation of the world that Allah is the best of planners. What Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, fast asleep on his bed, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his scarf, his head cover, to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to put it on his head, the mantle over his head, to clothe his head, to cover his head, and to sleep on him, on the pillow of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every time they peeped in and looked through the window, they saw a person whom they assumed or presumed to be the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asleep, and they knew that famous scarf of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, green scarf, they knew that this is the scarf of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore they did not make any move. So would Sayyidina Ali or radiyallahu ta'ala fast asleep on his bed, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was directed by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, walked out of his house reciting the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he walked out and as he was directed by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he walked out of his house reciting the first nine verses, the first nine ayat of Surah Yasin, which is the 36th Surah of the Quran. And at the same time, as he walked past them, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam scooped up a handful of dust and threw it in their direction. And this handful of dust, which he scooped from the ground and threw it in the direction of his enemies, blinded them and forced a temporary swoon or a form of unconsciousness over them. They therefore did not see him leave. Shaitan, the arch deceiver of man and the instigator against the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the kuffar, was also caused by the power of the Quran Majid into a sleep by the force of these ayat of Surah Yasin. Remember now, this is very important. Here you hear what I am saying, that the first nine ayat of Surah Yasin are so powerful that it causes shaitan to fall asleep. Shaitan cannot do anything. So here is already a clue that you are getting in your hand. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam revealed to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah informs you that you must walk out of the house, do not fear, recite Surah Yasin, the nine ayat of Surah Yasin, as you leave your house, and you throw a handful of dust in the direction of the kuffar and the mushrikeen, and Allah will take care of you and protect you so that none sees you and none can lay a hand upon you. The effect of these nine ayat of Surah Yasin, from number 1 to number 10, the effect of that and the effect of the dust will be such that they will not be able to see you. These ayat, I will recite them for you, are as follows. Most of you are acquainted with these ayat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yasin. Wal-Qur'an al-Hakim. Innaka lamin al-Mursaleen. Ala siratin mustaqim. Tanzeel al-Aziz ar-Rahim. لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون واجعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمهون وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون. سورة ياسين 36 سورة of the Quran آيات number 1 to 8 not 1 to 10 as I said آيات number 1 to 8 give you 9 آيات. Translation is as follows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Yaseen. Only Allah knows the meaning of this word. By the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on the Quran, on his revealed word, on the Kalamullah, which means whatever Allah is, whatever follows are very, very important words. By the Quran, filled with divine wisdom, you are indeed one of the messengers of Allah, sent to show the right way and the right path, in brackets, to humanity, to mankind. By the Quran, filled with divine wisdom, with hikmah, you, O Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are indeed one of the true messengers of Allah, sent to show mankind the right way. This Quran, this is a revelation of the most mighty and the most merciful Allah. By this Quran, that you, O Prophet, may warn a people whose fathers were not warned, and so they are therefore ignorant. You, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the task of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, in the Quran Majid, that you, in Surah Yasin, second ayah, that you may warn a people whose followers were not warned, whose fathers were not warned, that you, O Prophet, may warn, may give a warning to a people whose fathers were not warned, and therefore they are ignorant. Surely our decree, our word, Allah's word, Allah's decree, surely our decree has been justly true against most of them, meaning against most of the kuffar and mushrikeen, whereby most of them believe not. We have placed yokes and chains around their necks, reaching up to their chins, and they are forced to hold up their heads. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting, and the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is worried. He does not want any single human being after his birth, after his risalat, he does not want a single human being to go to Jahannam. That is the niyyah, aspiration, hope, prayer and wish of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not a single person, neither a child, male or female, and not even any person, male or female, man or woman, must go into Jahannam. All nations, all peoples, must all of them 100% go to Jannah. And this was his worry and his pain and his fear all the time. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't want, even the people that have intended to kill him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't want them to go to Jahannam. He prays for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these ayah that those upon whom Allah's decree has been passed that they will be kafir and they will be mushrik, nobody, not even Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can change that. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that surely our decree, meaning our judgment, meaning the judgment that Allah has passed over mankind, Allah knows everything, past, present and future. There is no tenses, there is no period in Allah's time. Allah knows what is going to happen to each man in Akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his decree has been passed over mankind and that most of these people that are persecuting him and persecuting the Muslims, that they will go to Jahannam. We have placed yokes, that is why most of them believe not. We have placed yokes and chains around their necks, the chains of kufr and the chains of shirk. And these yokes have been placed on them in this dunya and in Akhirah. And in Jahannam, these chains are around their necks, and these chains and yokes reach up to their chins so that they are forced to hold up their heads. They want to hide away and shy away, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threw the neck chains on them, keeps their head up, they cannot bend it. Allahu Akbar, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter, and we have set a barrier before them and a barrier behind them, and we have covered them with darkness, therefore they cannot see. That is the conclusion of the translation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, before these people, these kuffar and mushrikeen that want to kill you and want to destroy you and want to stop the work of deen, that Allah has placed a barrier in front of them, Allah has placed a barrier behind them, and Allah has covered them with darkness so that they cannot see. The effect of these ayat of Surah Yasin and the handful of dust cast in their direction was instantaneous. These people, the kuffar and mushrikeen, were pulverized. In other words, they were reduced to dust. Metaphorically, of course, by the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The enemy was totally helpless. They became so blind, as the Quran says, فَأَغَشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبَصِرُونَ. Allah ta'ala covered them with darkness so that they could not see. Now here, فَأَغَشَيْنَاهُمْ would have been sufficient. فَأَغَشَيْنَاهُمْ means, and Allah covered them with darkness. There was no need to have said, أَفَلَا فَهُمْ لَا يُبَصِرُونَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to emphasize the point that the power of the dust, the handful of dust which the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam collected from the ground and threw in the direction of the enemy, the power of this dust, Allah put so much power into this handful of dust, into this, these grains of dust, that they completely and totally... So much power into this handful of dust, into this, these grains of dust, that they completely and totally blinded the kuffar and the mushrikeen. And also the effect of the ayat of Surah Yasin that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting was so powerful, by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah with his complete and perfect power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned their eyes sightless. They were looking but they saw nothing. This is by the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sight and vision comes to man by the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that sight and vision, the power is taken away, that same eyes will not see. Like I said last week, you take a human being and you remove his ruh. The eyes are there, the nose are there, the ears are there. He cannot smell with his nose, he cannot hear with his ears, and he cannot see with his eyes. Yet he has got the use, all those limbs are there on his body. Just the removal of the ruh has caused. So this is what happened here. They were, the power to see of those human beings, those kuffar and mushrikeen, the power of sight was taken away by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can do as he wishes, when he wishes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore says, فَأَغَشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah ta'ala, as the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked out of that house, Allah ta'ala covered them with darkness so that they could not see. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks of a barrier, a saddan. The barrier, saddan, mentioned in these verses of Surah Yasin, refers to the immobility of the enemies of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, caused by their evil intentions and their sinful deeds. So they could not even move. In other words, not only were they unable to see the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning that they became sightless, they also became immobile. So even if they saw the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would not have been able to move into his direction. They could neither see the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor could they move towards him. Such was the miraculous plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Miraculous for us, but easy for Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees help for his chosen messengers, then it comes in incredible ways which man cannot fathom or understand. Nature and matter changes its essential quality and its property, its physical agent, it loses this to safeguard and to secure them by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, here it is. Everything has got a physical property, is a physical agent. In other words, fire, the physical power of fire is to burn. Yet Allah, that physical agency of fire to burn, when the physical agent and that quality is removed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then fire will do whatever Allah commands it to do. For example, in the case of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, O fire, become cool for Ibrahim. So fire became cool and it lost its power and its quality to burn. So everything thereby we learn is under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nature and matter changes its essential quality and property to safeguard and secure them by the command of Allah ta'ala. So did fire become cool for Ibrahim alayhi salam. So did the Red Sea open a path for Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his followers. The command, water, the natural cause of water, its natural propensity is to flow, to keep flowing. It does not of its own stop and part and make a way. This was by the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So did a stick or a staff turn into a snake for Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. I mean, the staff that Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam held was only a piece of stick. And how could it change itself into a snake? It did so by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So did water turn into a cure for Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Water is not medicine. And yet for Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, as he washed with that particular water, you remember Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam was ordered by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to strike the ground with his feet, with his heels. And as he struck the ground, a spring of water sprang up there. This is in the Quran. And as the spring of water sprang up, that water was medicine for Ibrahim, for Ayyub. For as he took the water and he rubbed it over his body and he washed and bathed his body with the assistance of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, as he washed himself, because he was very sick, he had been sick for a very long period, as he washed himself, all the sores on his body and the scars on his body and the worms on his body had become rotten, diseased. All of that began to wear off, and as water touched his body and flowed over his body became cured. In other words, it got back its health again. It became a healthy body again. All this by whom? That is not the work of water. But since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the water to become a medication for Ibrahim, for Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, and so the water became. This is how our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam walked past the armed forces of the enemy. They were armed to the teeth. And thereafter, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his way to the home of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. On arrival at the home, he informed Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him permission, had granted the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permission to depart from Makkah and to emigrate to Medina Munawwara, meaning to perform the hijrah for which they had been long waiting. There was only one question in the mind of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which was, Ya Rasulullah, who accompanies you on this trip? His first question when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, informed him that Allah has given me permission to go on hijrah, to leave Makkah and to proceed to Medina Munawwara, for which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had long been waiting. Ya Rasulullah, who accompanies you on this trip? Asked Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You, O Abu Bakr, came the immediate reply from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala immediately began weeping openly with joy, overcome by the portent of this moment. To accompany the most beloved of Allah ta'ala on his momentous hijrah, and that with the approval and the consent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was a very great blessing indeed for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Note, the Shias who deny the Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala should take note. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala showed the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam two camels which he had purchased and held ready for this journey of Hijrah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala offered the better camel to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to accept it for free. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then purchased this animal, this camel, from Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, a daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, prepared provisions for their journey, for the hijrah. Abdullah bin Uraykit was an unbeliever at that stage. Abdullah bin Uraykit, he was chosen as a guide. He was a very clever guide, and he knew the route from Makkah to Medina Munawwara. He had traveled that route many times. So Abdullah bin Uraykit As I say, he was a kafir at the time. He was chosen as their guide. And Amir bin Fuhaira, who was a freed man, meaning he was a slave, who had been freed by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Amir bin Fuhaira was taken as a servant. He was a servant of the household of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala asked him to accompany them and to help him and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on their journey with what preparation of food and so on, bringing water and all the rest of it, that he should accompany them on this journey, thus making them four peoples who were going on this Hijrah, meaning the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Abdullah bin Uraykit and Amir bin Fuhaira. Here I may mention to you that, I think I've got it here, so I'll leave it. What happened is, as Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala had come to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam several times saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most of the Sahabas, almost all the Muslims have trekked and they have gone to Madinah Munawwara. Let us go. Let us go, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He kept saying this to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every time he told this to the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, no, Abu Bakr, wait. I have not received permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is improper for me to do anything without the command and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wait. What shall I do? Ya Rasulullah, what shall I do? Should I go? Should I proceed with my family for the safety and security of my family, since the Muslims were being persecuted and imprisoned by the mushrikeen of Makkah? Can we go, Ya Rasulullah? Can I take my wife? Can I take my two daughters? First daughter, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala. Second daughter, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Can I take them and proceed with my possessions to Madinah Munawwara? And the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, no, wait, don't go now. So for this reason, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala immediately sensed that when the time came and when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go on Hijrah, then he would need a companion. He would need somebody to accompany him on this Hijrah. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala thought in his mind, in his conscience, the thought came that maybe this is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not allowing me to go. He's not permitting, giving me permission to go to Medina. All the others he gave permission to go. Why does he not give me permission to go? Maybe he wants me, maybe Allah wants me, and my Rasul wants me to accompany him on this particular journey. So sensing this, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala went and purchased with his own money two of the best camels in the market. In Makkah Mukarrama, he went and bought and purchased two of the healthiest and the best camels. And he went and took it and he told Amir bin Fuhaira, who was his worker, he told him, look, you feed these camels with the best, look after them the best, and prepare them for a journey. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to his home, when he walked out of his house, right through the enemies, and he first went to the house of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and he said, oh Abu Bakr, Allah has given me permission, now I can go on this Hijrah, I can depart from my beloved Makkah, and now I'm prepared to go. Come, you accompany me, we will both leave, and afterwards you can send for the rest of your family. From Medina, you can send people to come and fetch the rest of them. But the two of us must leave. You must not take your family because it is very dangerous, since the enemy is going to follow us. Harm rather come to us and not upon your wife and your children. Oh Abu Bakr, are you ready? Let us go. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala asked him, who accompanies you, Ya Rasulullah? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you, O Abu Bakr, are going to accompany me. Immediately, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala started crying. And the reason for his crying was out of happiness. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, come with me. And he took him back to his little place where he had kept these two camels, and he called and he opened the door and he showed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, look, these are the two camels I've purchased and I've been waiting for this moment. The camels have been well fed, well watered. They are ready for the long journey. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this animal here, this particular camel, and the best one of the two he chose. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, this camel is for you. I've chosen it for you. You take and you ride this camel, I will take this one. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam absolutely refused. He said, no, O Abu Bakr, I am not going to accept this animal. It does not belong to me. It is your animal. How much? made a price, when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, who reluctantly saw that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not going to make any compromise, he was not going to give in, a price was made and agreed upon, and only then, when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made a formal deal and purchased that animal, did the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepare the camel to get on and leave for the Hijrah. This is what the story is about. So Hazrat Asma radiallahu anha, the elder daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha, she prepared quickly food for parcels for them for the road, and of course the other two prepared to accompany them and assist them on the way. Once preparations were completed and the way appeared clear, they departed, bound for Medina Munawwara. In the meantime, the enemies, the kuffar and mushrikeen, surrounding the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they awoke from their blindness of sleep by the noise being made by shaitan appearing in the disguise of a man. Here shaitan is waiting. Shaitan has, through his power of evil suggestion, got the enemy to surround the house of the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to finally decide to kill him. When Shaitan is now sure that everything is done, everything is prepared. Shaitan does not understand the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cannot understand how the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can escape from the clutches of his enemy. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it is simple. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disappears. When Shaitan comes on the scene, Shaitan comes to know immediately that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has escaped from the clutches of his enemy. So when Shaitan comes in, Shaitan sees, looks at these 20 kuffar surrounding the house of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sees that they are in a state of unconsciousness. They are not moving, they are not seeing anything. They have remained. So Shaitan then came to them, changed himself into the disguise of a man, and he started shouting to each one of them. He said, "He is not here. He has gone. He is not here. He is gone. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not here. He has gone. He has escaped from under your very noses." Surprised, for they had not seen anyone pass them since they had been in a momentary lapse of mind and sight, they denied such an event. "This cannot be. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not left his bed. He is still asleep there. Go and see." Shaitan belted out in fury to them. He said, "Says who? Are you not aware what happened here? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emerged from his house and walked right past you unscathed, untouched. He also threw dust on the head of each one of you as he went past you." So these 20 people raised their hands and they felt dust on their heads. This I am narrating to you not only from history books but also from the books of hadith, in which this is written, that these 20 people, when Shaitan told them that there's sand on your heads, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw dust on your heads, when they felt their hair in their heads, they felt it was full of dust. Allahu Akbar. So Shaitan informs them. They raised their hands and felt the dust on their heads, and then they panicked. Rushing into the house, they found that it was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that was sleeping in the place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to him they screamed and shouted, "Where is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" they demanded. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu fearlessly told them, "I have no idea." This was one particular feature of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a fearless man. He had absolutely no fear, particularly not for the kuffar. And he said, "I have no idea," replied Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. From here they rushed to the home of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So they knew how close was the companionship, the love and respect which bound these two notables of Makkah Mukarramah. It was the same Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala who had told them not long ago, when they had questioned him, just a few months ago, when they had questioned him about the veracity of the Mi'raj of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had told them, without having met Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "You hear it with his own ears about the story of Mi'raj." When the kuffar heard it from the lips of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had not heard of it yet. So they rushed to him, Abu Sufyan and Abu Jahl and company, all these mushrikeen of Makkah. They rushed and they met Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and they told him, you know your friend, whom you call your prophet, you know what he is saying? He is saying that he went on this fantastic journey of Mi'raj, that he ascended into the heavens, and this all the things that he saw. Has he gone mad? Na'uzu billah. Do you believe in such an imposter? Na'uzu billah. Abu Jahl told Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, a man such as this who tells fairy tales like this, who talks of ascending into the heaven, how can a bodily ascension take place? Oh Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, do you believe in such a story? Do you believe in such a man? Na'uzu billah. And what was the reply of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala? He said, if Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says it was so, then it is absolutely true.